Greek means 50, 50 days. And so we are counting the Omer. We're at day 35. It's exciting because we have two more weeks after this, and then we'll celebrate Shavuot. So important to the believer. There's no believer ever that believes in, and if you believe in Yeshua, there's no believer in the world that shouldn't know this. So we have a lot of work cut out for us, amen, to teach, to make sure that people understand how valuable it is to keep up with the times, because the times that we're talking about is when he's also going to return at those times. And so we want to be well prepared. So we're going to be talking about today receiving the promise of the Father. Receiving the promise of the Father, because that's important. That's what Shavuot's all about. It's about, we talked about this in the beginning, that on Mount Sinai, when he gave him the Ten Commandments, he gave him the teachings. But he gives us the teacher. How many thank God for that? So I'm going to talk about how he promised the teacher. It's a promise. And if God promised it, it's going to happen. How many understand that? If he promised it. So I need to show you in the scripture, because I can tell you stuff all day long, but if I can show it to you, that means you take it home with you. Because you get your Bible, and you take it home with you. So if you have something to write with, I would suggest you get your pen and paper out and write down every scripture I'm going to give you, because you can take it home with you, and you can go over it yourself 100 times or 1,000 times, as many times as you want. If you want to know it, you can get it. Or you can just come to church and hear it one time and go about a week down the road and say, I don't remember what he said. You got to keep going over it and over it to change your life. And we need life change, because we're going to be challenged with counting the Omer's a challenge. We're thinking about our life, about how much humility we show. In the last few days, it was talking about being humble and humbling ourselves in such a way that we can see the greatness of God. When you're not humble enough, you don't see the greatness of God. But when you humble yourself, you can see how incredible he is and how mindful he is of us. And so we're going to be going to, we're going to answer 4 questions today. What is the promise of the Father? What is the promise of the Father? Number 2, to whom was the promise made? This promise we're going to talk about today, who was it made to? Number 3, the benefits we receive from the promise of the Father. What's the benefits I get from it? When I receive the promise of the Father, what's the benefits? And let me just say this while I'm thinking about it, and I'll read number 4 in a little bit. There's not a person here that the promise wasn't made to you. So this is not just for preachers and teachers and evangelists and prophets. This is to every human being. The promise was made to you. But you got to receive the promise. And that's what we're going to talk about. How do you do that? And number 4, how can we receive the promise of the Father? We'll answer that question. And so let's take on the first one. What is the promise of the Father? What is it? In Genesis chapter 12, verse number 1, we'll look at what God said to Abram. In verse number 1, and Yah said to Abram, go yourself out of your land. Notice the first thing he did, he separated him. In order for God to make you something, he has to separate you from other things. He sets you apart. He separates you. And there's a lot of things that he does to do that. From your relatives and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. Why did he make him go from his father's house? He said, from your father's house, because his father was a pagan worshiper. He had idols and he worshiped idols, and the Lord called Abraham from that. We're going to see, to Abraham, was it worth it? You'll see later on it was worth it. To the world, was it worth it? It was worth it. In verse number 2, and I shall make you a great nation. He's promising him this. I'll make you a great nation. And bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I'm going to bless you so much that blessings is going to leak from you. You'll be a blessing. How many want to be a blessing to somebody? Listen, if we use money as a blessing and you don't have enough for you, it's hard to be a blessing. So how many see what we're talking about here? When he's talking about a promise, he's going to get a lot of things to him to get it through him. And that's what God's interested in. He wants to bless you so you can be a blessing. We count our blessings as what we get for us and our four and no more. But that's not what God promised. He said, I'll promise you and make you a blessing. Anybody need some of that? Verse number 3, and I shall bless those that bless you and curse those who curse you. And in you all the clans of the earth shall be blessed. Notice what he says. All the clans of the earth shall be blessed in you. So whatever he promised to Abraham has got to be very important, that it'll bless all the clans of the earth. That doesn't matter what where you live, where you grew up, what's your nationality, your ethnicity, none of that matters. You'll be blessed by what he promised to Abraham. How many see so far? We want to find out what that promise is. So Abraham left as Yah had commanded him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the beings whom they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Kenyan. And they came to the land of Kenyan, and Abram passed through the land and placed to a place called of Shechem, as far as the terebinth tree of Moreh. And at that time the Canaanites were in the land. And Yah appeared to Abram and said, to your seed I give this land. That's God already fulfilling part of his promise. Because remember, all it was a word when he was still in his father's house. Then he had to do something. He had to leave his father's house. Separate yourself from that type of worship. Because I'm going to give you a land. And so he says, to your seed I give this land. Now I want you to understand, this is literally talking about a geographic location that we are very familiar with today. It's called Israel. How many last time you looked at the country of Israel on a map? You ought to get in the habit of looking at it every day. You ought to look at Israel every day. So I quit looking at maps when I got out of school. I'm just trying to encourage you and warn you how important it is to keep looking at Israel. While all of this is going on, all of this pandemic and the shutdown, my eyes is on Israel. I don't care about what Texas is doing. It don't make a difference what Florida's doing. And it don't make a difference what Louisiana's doing. I'm worrying about what's going on in Israel, because that's a sign that I'm looking for that the Lord is going to return. So if you haven't looked at that, you got to get in the habit of looking at it. Watch some news about Israel, because that's going to really tell what's going to happen. To your seed I give this land. And he built there a slaughter place to Yah, who had appeared to him. So when he says he built a slaughter place, it's a place as an altar. He built an altar and he made a sacrifice, and he said, the deal's done. Now I'm worshiping you. What was he doing? He was worshiping him for what he had promised and gave him. Did he give him the land yet? He said, to your seed I give this land. That's it. So he made a sacrifice, a worship, and the deal was done. And so in Galatians chapter 3, I want you to go there, and we're going to find out just what this is. Because it's kind of vague to us in Genesis. He said, to your seed. Did Abraham have any children at this time? He had none. Well, how old was he when he left his father's house? He was 75. He had no children, but he said, to your seed I give this land. So can you see the kind of the predicament that Abraham's in? Okay, Lord, if you're going to do it, you got to hurry up. I'm 75. So in Galatians chapter 3, starting with verse 15, look what it says. Brothers, as a man I say it, a covenant, even though it is man's, yet it is confirmed. No one sets it aside or adds to it. So what happens if the covenant is confirmed? You can't add to it or set it aside, meaning at a later another time. It's going to do when God's time is perfect. You can't change the time of it. Remember, that's what he's saying here. Was the covenant confirmed? Did Abram build an altar? Did he make a sacrifice? He built a slaughtering place and he sacrificed to Yah. So what did that do? That confirmed the covenant. Could it change? It can't change. Cannot change. Remember that. If you go into the automobile and you buy a car and you look at all the documents and you go in the signing room and you sign for the contract, you confirmed it. Once you confirm it, it's a done deal. You can't come back a year later and say, I changed my mind. I can't make the notes. Can you? You break the covenant or you break the contract. So I want you to understand that this contract has been put in place and it can't be added to or take away. Why he don't want you to add to the covenant? Because he don't want anybody to think that you got to alter or change God's covenant because things get hard. And tough times come. Tough times don't change the plan of God. He's going to do what he said he would do. It may not seem like he's going to do it, but he's going to do it. Remember, a delay is what? Not a denial. It's going to happen. Galatians 3:16. But the promises, what promises? These promises that we talked about that he gave to Abraham. The promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed, capital S seed. That's important to know because we're not told that in Genesis. We don't see it in Genesis. That's why you got to understand the whole Bible is relevant and it's important to your life, not just some of it. The whole Bible is relevant. You got to get in, as a good student of the Bible, you got to get in the habit of inundating yourself with the entirety of the Word of God. He said, it was made to his seed. He does not say, and to seeds. Now he's making a direct quote here. He does not say, and to seeds. As of many, but as of one, and to your capital S seed in Genesis 12:7. So he's making a quote of that, which is who? Messiah. So when God gives the promise to Abraham, who does he have on his mind when he says seed? Who does Abraham have on his mind? He don't have a clue because he don't have any kids. He has no clue who he's got on his mind, but Yah knows who he's thinking about. Who is he thinking about? Galatians helps us here. He's thinking about Messiah. That's the promise. Now this I say, I want you to understand how important this is, because this is a go-to verse for a lot of people. This I say, Torah, that came 430 years later, does not annul a covenant previously confirmed by Elohim in Messiah. Notice that. When did he confirm the covenant about Messiah? Before, 430 years before Torah. So can Torah annul it? Can it alter it and change it in any way? Cannot. Remember that. Do you have to? You don't have to because God knew what he was saying then and he still knows what he's saying now. Now, this I say, Torah that came 430 years later does not annul a covenant previously confirmed by Elohim in Messiah so as to do away with the promise. Did he do away with the promise? No. Did the Torah come and change the promise that he made? No, none of that changed. Why then, verse 18, for if the inheritance is by Torah, it is no longer by promise, but Elohim gave it to Abram through a promise. Just to help us understand that verse, for if the inheritance is by Torah alone, aside from Messiah, it is no longer by promise, but Elohim gave it to Abram through a promise. Why then the Torah? So it's asking the question, why have the Torah? Why was it there? It was added because of transgressions, because of sin. The word transgressions just it means being sinning, transgressing the Torah. So if we don't have anything for you to transgress, then how can we call it sin? I mean, understand that. If he would have never said, thou shalt have no other gods before me, then would you be on the hook for having other gods? There'd be no reason to punish you because he never said you couldn't. But if he said you couldn't, you shouldn't do it. That's because now you're transgressing what he said not to do. That's sin. If he'd have said, thou shalt not murder, is that one of the commands? What if he never said that? Then would you be on the hook for murder? Think about it. So why would the Torah come? Because of transgression. Because people were doing those things, and they needed to know that what they were doing was wrong. That's why the Torah come. So when I use the word Torah, what am I talking about? I'm talking about the five books, or the first five books of the Bible. Think about that. That's why it came. So he told that, and he laid out so beautifully the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20. Beautifully laid them out for us so we can see them. It was added because of transgression until the seed, capital S seed. Who is that? We just said who that. We answered who that was. That's Messiah. So the capital S seed, Messiah, should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained through the messenger in the hands of a mediator. So I want you to see that this promise was made. And he says the Torah is there until the seed will come. Because let me tell you, we're going to have trouble until we get the promise. And if you don't know how to operate in it, live in it, soak in it, immerse yourself in it, you're going to always have problems. And that's the goal today, is to show you how, because we're preparing ourselves to receive the promise of the Father coming this Shavuot. Now let's go to Galatians 3, verse 13. Messiah redeemed us from the curse of the Torah. So when people read that, they say, what's the point in keeping Torah if you've been redeemed from the curse of the Torah? Because he didn't redeem me from Torah. He redeemed me from the curse of Torah, which is death. How many glad for that? What does that mean to be redeemed from the curse of Torah? That means if you die and when you die, death can't hold you. When Christ returns, you will rise again, just like he rose again on the third day. But you have to receive the promise in order for that to happen. Without the promise, that never happens. How many can see how important the promise is now? Amen. Messiah redeemed us from the curse of Torah, having become a curse for us, for it has been written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. That's Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 23. So how many see, even Paul is constantly quoting the Torah. That's what he's quoting. In verse 14, in order that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the nations in Messiah. What did he promise him? He said, in you, all the clans of the earth will be blessed. He promised him. So in order that the blessing of Abraham might come on the nations in Messiah, Yeshua, to receive. And we answer the first question, the promise of the Spirit through belief. So what is the promise of the Father? The set-apart spirit. It's the spirit of the living Yah. It's so amazing that we see that all the way promised to Abraham. So he said, in order that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the nations in Messiah Yeshua to receive the promise of the Spirit through belief. So how many of you know that's a promise given to you, and without that promise, it's going to be tough for you to try to make it serving the Lord. Very difficult. In verse number 8 of Galatians 3, it says, in the scripture foreseen that Elohim would declare right the nations by belief, announced the good news to Abraham. What did he announce to Abraham? The good news. What's the good news? The promise of the Father, or the giving of the Spirit through belief. So I want to think that Abraham, he knew what the plan was. He knew what was going on. Because when Yah called him, what did he do? He left. He left all with his father. He grew up doing this. He grew up doing exactly what his father's house did, and his father's house did, and his father's house did. That's what he grew up doing. But when God called him, he set him apart, and he gave him a promise. It's for you and I to take that same thing. Think about it. This is what he talked about. He said, he announced the good news to Abraham. Abraham knew what the plan was, and so he was willing to do what God asked him to do. He announced the plan, the good news to Abraham beforehand, saying, all the nations shall be blessed in you. Did I not just read that in Genesis 12, 3? All the nations are going to be blessed in you. How are they going to be blessed? They're going to be blessed with the promise of the Father. Verse 9, so that those who are of belief are blessed with Abraham, the believer. Those who have faith, the word belief is a faith. Those who have faith or belief are blessed with Abraham the believer. Now, what gives in Abraham the what do we see in the Bible that indicates that Abraham was given the good news? Because he believed God and it was counted to him for what? Righteousness. He knew how to live a righteous life without Torah. How is that possible? How can he live a righteous life without the Torah? Because God did something on the inside of him. He gave him set apart spirit for him to realize that I'm going to do this for you. It's going to become real to you. And that's why we need it so badly today. In Galatians chapter 3, verse number 2, this only I wish to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by works of Torah or by hearing of belief? Notice what he asked the Galatians. Did you receive the Spirit by works of Torah, that's Torah obedience alone, or by hearing of belief? He is then who has supplied the Spirit to you and working miracles among you, doing it by works of Torah or by hearing of belief. So we know that what he's telling the Galatians says, what you received the Spirit. Did you do it by Torah works alone? Or did you do it by belief in Yeshua as the only begotten of the Father, the Messiah? Let me see that there's something that has to be joined together here. We have to make sure. It's like taking the Old Testament and the New Testament and joining them together. What a beautiful thing that is in the Bible. But to leave one by itself, any one of them, is a travesty and a disaster to the believer. The complete disaster. If you say, I'm just going to take the first, the Torah and the writings, and if you took that, unless you understood the revelation of Yeshua, you'd be confused just like so many in the world today are. And if you just done that, with knowledge, you could absolutely teach Yeshua out just the Torah. But without knowledge, how could you do that? It takes a miracle. You have to be given the promise of the Father for that to happen. And if you took Yeshua alone, just only him, I'm just going to go with Yeshua alone, it's another travesty, because then you have no guide to give you regulations in your life. You just believe. Does that qualify you? Why do we say, when people say, Lord, Lord, have I not done this in you? Have I prophesied, cast out demons, did all these mighty miracles in your name? And what does he say? Depart from me, you who work iniquity, I don't know you. You who work lawlessness. You got to bring both of them together. You take both of them. I don't understand the fear in that. If I'm going to understand a book, I got to read the whole thing. I can't read this. You don't go buy a book that you've been excited about reading and open it up to the middle and start reading and think you can understand its entirety. You start at page one. Remember, I've been saying this for years. I've been saying just that little analogy, how important that is. Where does this fit for us? Think about this. In Jeremiah 31, let's see what the prophet says. Jeremiah 31, verse 31 through 34. See, the days are coming, declares Yah, when I shall make a renewed covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Yehuda. Not like the covenant I made with their fathers in the day when I strengthened their hands to bring them out of the land of Mitzrayim, out of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, declares Yah. You have to understand, Yah was married to them. When he uses this terminology, he's not kidding. He was married. He was in a covenant. To get a marriage, you have to have a covenant. There's documents. You sign them. They put in a courthouse. It's all legal. So he's saying what I did was all legal. I made a promise. I kept my word. I was a husband to them. But what did they do? They broke the covenant. Verse 33, for this is the covenant I shall make with the house of Israel after those days, declares Yah. I will put my Torah in their inward parts. What is he going to put? The Torah. I'm showing you can't separate them. He said, I'll put my Torah in their inward parts and write it on their hearts. And I shall be their Elohim and they shall be my people. And no longer shall they teach each one his neighbor and each one his brother, saying, know Yah. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, declares Yah. For I shall forgive their crookedness and remember their sins no more. Notice this. He's given his prophetic word that in those days, what I'm going to do, he said, I'm going to do something different. What is he talking about? He's trying to show us how all the clans of the earth can be blessed. No matter where you are, what you grew up learning, all the clans can be blessed, but it has to be done by set apart spirit. Because he's talking about the promise of the Father. Well, let's look at Ezekiel 36, verse 25. It gives us some more insight. This is the prophet Ezekiel. In verse 36:25, and I shall sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. This is a reference to the baptism, water baptism. Sprinkle clean water, and you shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols, I cleanse you. What is he getting rid of? All of our filthiness and all of our idols. He said, I cleanse you. What did he do to Abram? He said, come from your father's house because he's an idol worshiper and you can't stay there and do what I've asked you to do. So I'm going to take you from that and cleanse you and bring you to a land that I'll show you. And what did he give him? He gave him Jerusalem, the land of Israel. Think about it. Who was inhabiting that land at the time? The Canaanites. So we see all of that throughout history, all the stuff they had to go through, all of that. And the battles and the wars that went on. In verse 26, and I shall give you a new heart. What is he giving us? A new heart. And put a new spirit within you. How many see that? I'll give you a new heart and put a new spirit. And I shall take the heart of stone out of your flesh. And I shall give you a heart of flesh. Notice that. I'm going to take the stone out and give you a heart of flesh. Something that the word can be pliable to. And I'll put my spirit within you. I mean, see, this is the prophet Ezekiel prophesying about the promise set apart spirit, the promise of the Father. And I shall cause you to walk in my laws and guard my right rulings, and you shall do them. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. Who's he speaking of here? To Abraham. And you shall be my people, and I shall be your Elohim. So it's a beautiful thing when you look at the Bible and you see, once you understand what the Bible is saying, it's beautiful how it all comes together. It's clear as could be. And so we see that in Ezekiel's prophecy, what he's talking about, the same thing we directed you on. So the promise set apart spirit is what circumcised the heart. That's what that circumcision of the heart has to happen to every person. You know, if you're here and you second guess whether or not you're saved or born again, then just the fact that you have a second guess is a clear indication that you're in trouble. Because it's not a secret. He's not trying to hide it from you. It's something you know. So I get this analogy. So if I took a pool and I put a pool right here and I got Isaac to come up, and I thought about, maybe I should just do this. And I got Isaac to come up and stand in the pool, and I took a spray bottle and I spritzed him, you know. Psh, psh. He'll know that I spritzed him. But if you come in an hour later, you won't know that I did by looking at him. You won't know. Maybe I'll hit him a couple times. Psh, psh. You come in at a later time, you still don't know that I did it. But if I take a whole bucket of water while he's sitting there and I just keep pouring them on him until he's soaking wet, you can come in later if you want. You'll know that he's been wet. How many understand that? There's no getting around it. You know it. Or we can go to the baptismal pool. And if I do the same thing, if I put you under and you come up, everybody that witnessed this whole thing knows you went under. You were immersed. That's how clear being born again is. If you doubt it in any way, then I go back and make sure that I get it right before I live in doubt. Can you have it? Can you get it where you know it? You better believe you can. You can know it with everything that's in until you have a weeping moment that you can't control yourself because you know how much Yah loves you. But if you're in doubt of it, that's clear indication to me that you got some problems and you can fix that. Don't live that away. Why you want to try to serve God halfway? Don't do that. Submerge yourself in it. And this is what he's talking about. This promise set apart spirit circumcises the heart. In Deuteronomy 31, verse number 1 through 8. Deuteronomy 30, 1 through 8. And it shall be when all these words come upon you and the blessings and the curses which I have set before you, and you shall bring them back to your heart among all nations where Yah your Elohim drives you, and turn back to Yah your Elohim and obey his voice. What you got to do? Turn back. What does that word mean? It means teshuva. You know what teshuva means? You got to go back to the source. Teshuva means going back to the source, because that's what changes everything in our lives. You obey my voice according to all that I command you today with all your heart and with all your being, you and your children. Then Yah your Elohim shall turn back your captivity and shall have compassion on you. And he shall turn back and gather you from all the people where Yah your Elohim has scattered you. If any of you are driven out to the farthest parts of the heaven, from there Yah your Elohim does gather you, and from there he does take you.